very famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, when it describes the way we perform the mitzvah of shofar, the Gemara tells us we blow 30 sounds both before and during the Amidah. And the Gemara wonders why we blow both times and responds, "Kidei la'arbev ha-satan," in order to confound the satan, the accusing angels. And as Rabbi Bernstein notes in source number 1, these words are somewhat enigmatic. How are we confounding the satan by blowing the shofar twice? And as the notes in the Art Scrolls Chumash points out in source 2, there are two sets of blasts that are sounded in Rosh Hashanah, one before the Shemoneh Esrei, and we call those the Meyushav, when one is permitted to sit, even though we have the Minhag to stand, and one during Shemoneh Esrei, which we call the Me'umah, the standing ones. And we know that the primary blasts are the second set, since the main obligation is to blow at the time of the recital of the verses Malchios, Sichronos, and Shofros. And again, there's different Minhagim Yisrael. Some people blow during the silent Shemoneh Esrei as well as during the repetition of the Chazarat HaShatz, and some just blow in the Chazarat HaShatz only. But that's the main blowing of the shofar, is during the Malchios, Sichronos, and Shofar. So the question becomes, well, why do we blow before Shemoneh Esrei? So the Gemara answers, "Kedei la'arbev ha-satan," to be able to confound, to confuse the satan. What are we confusing him about? What is the confusion? How do we understand this Gemara? It's a very famous Gemara. I'd like to first take a look on the first level at the three classic understandings among the Rishonim, and to see from each understanding a glimpse into what our avoda, into what our focus should be on Rosh Hashanah. And then on the second level, to take a look at this Gemara from a completely different perspective, and to see what our avoda is very briefly from this perspective as well. Approach number one in the first level is Rashi. Rashi explains to verse 3 that the blowing of the shofar twice represents a display of the love for the mitzvah. When the satan sees the love of the Jewish people have for mitzvahs, his accusations will be nullified. These words require some attention, continuing in source 3. Why should the satan's accusations be confounded upon seeing the Jewish people's love for a mitzvah? Even if they love mitzvahs, the fact remains they've also performed the avodos. As we'll discuss, a key factor in our securing a favorable judge in Rosh Hashanah is establishing our essential nature as being in tune with Hashem's will. For this casts all of our actions in a different light. Our mitzvahs gain more weight as they represent our true desire, and our averos are devalued as they no longer represent what we really want or mean. This act of displaying love for a mitzvah is thus key in establishing it for us as a valued act, one with which we fully identify. Having achieved this, the satan's accusations regarding any sins we may have committed will hopefully be significantly of a low energy. So the first approach of Rashi, of because Klaisa are mechavim et mitzvos, we don't blow only once when we're commanded to blow. We blow even more times. We write 30 is the minimum. We blow 100. We blow even more. Is to show the satan that we love mitzvos. Ah, how do we love mitzvos? How will that silence or confound the satan? So approach one is because it will show the satan that our true desire is to do with Sam Hashem, the will of God. Ah, we also do averus yechinami. That's maybe also true. But that's not the essence of who we are. So when the satan sees that the essence of the Jew, the focus of the Jew, is to do mitzvot, so then there's going to be a lower profile, so to speak. There's a lower energy on the sins that we have done. Another approach of what it means, shemechavim et mitzvot, Rav Chasko Lovenstein in source number 2, where he says, the Ol Moshe quotes in source 4, is kedugmat av ha-shofet et b'no minahegimo b'maymer ha-mishpa b'chavivot rabah, if you have a judge who's judging his own son, so he loves his son. So he's going to judge him with favor. He's going to judge him with a smile. The accusatory forces don't have a chance to stand by it. When the satan sees that Klal Yisrael are in favor with Hashem, that they're going lefni mishurat hadin, above and beyond the letter of the law, they're doing more, that brings kivyachol favor from the shofet, the judge, onto the defendant. And then the accusatory forces, their mouths are shut, like they see the case is lost. Hashem loves his people. ובדומה לזה כשהשטן רואה את החיבור שכלי ישראל לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא, that they're מחווים את המצוות, then he can't be able, אינו מסוגל לגשת לטעון טענותיו, to enter into his arguments. And ויש לנו ללמוד מכך, the end of source 4, we learn from this, את החשיבות העניין של חיבור מצוות, שבכוחו לסתום את פי המקטרג בשעת הדין. Well, we clearly see from here, and this is idea number one for us to be able to integrate into our avodas hayom, is that the chibuv hamitzvah, the approach that we have, the attitude that we have in doing mitzvahs, that love of a mitzvah has the ability in shofar, and it's true of all. This is like a binyanah. It's a paradigm across the board. That when we not only do a mitzvah, but we do it out of chavivos, we do it out of love, we do it out of a desire that we want to do this, that has the ability to mistaten at the satan. It silences the satan. The satan says, like, I can't argue against people who are madly in love with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Vosifa Mashkiach, source 5, and he said, Im chibuv ha-mitzvah sotei mepiv shel ha-satan, if we see the power of the love of the mitzvah silences the satan, we see, God forbid, the other way. If the satan sees us a Rosh Hashanah not in love with the mitzvahs, then the satan, who has many, many things that he could be accusatory forces against us, he can have a field day. What is one of the means to silence the satan? Yes, we have averos. But when he sees that our true desire, when we do a mitzvah, it's out of love, it's out of chavivos, and we're not even talking about sin here, right? Like, forget about that. That's like a whole different story. But when we're talking about what our attitude is on Rosh Hashanah, for women, Rosh Hashanah is a very intense day. Right, particularly if you have children at home or grandchildren and you're trying to juggle the cooking and the food and the company and the davening and the needs of everybody, it's a very stressful day. When everything is done out of love, not complaining, I have 4 meals and all the dishes to do, but thank you, Hashem, for the opportunity to be able to cook a yontif meal. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to clothe and feed children, to be able to do every mitzvah. Netzios yadayim, wow! Hamotzi, wow! Davening, usher yotze, wow! Every mitzvah is gold. Every mitzvah is opportunity. And I give, and I'm mechanech my children in this way. Wow, Rosh Hashanah, we're going to grab every mitzvah like it's a diamond. We're going to polish it. We're going to shine it. We're going to show this is our true love. That in itself, that attitude, that mindset, that chibuf, that love, that desire, that has the ability to mistatein, to be able to silence the accusatory forces. And indeed, as Rav Moshe Schwab Zatzal notes in Marchei Lev in source number 8, the Torah specifically tells us, Parshas Ki Tovo, Tachar Shalovat Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha, the fact that we didn't serve Hashem B'Simcha with love, that's why all these terrible tragedies will befall us. We see that our avodas Hashem, the real primary aspect, has to be mitoch ava or mitoch simcha, out of love and out of joy. This is this is what the mitzvah tkiyah shofar, blowing it twice, is coming to teach us. That this is the mindset we need to have. And Rav Schwab goes on in source number 9, and he said, when you do a mitzvah, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol meldecha, your moser nefesh for a mitzvah, it's difficult for you, and you nevertheless overcome, or you don't do an aveira, and you overcome, right? You're going to speak the lashon hara, and you don't. You were going to say a bracha quickly, and you said it with kavana. When you're able to invest out of love for Hashem, you will see that it generates even more love. You will see that it generates even a greater connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that creates such a close feeling with Hashem. That's the avoda of the day. The avoda of the day is love. Indeed, the Lekach V'Libur of Rav Shor points out that we know the Arizal says the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are divided. The first day is much stricter than the second day. And that's why the first day, even though on both, we do both, the focus is davening for our ruchnias, and the second day spirituality. Our focus is davening for our gashmias, our physicality. And he says on both days, The mitzvah of the day is v'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our ma'od, with all our possession. And notes of Sefer HaChinuch Shezehu, Acham and mitzvos HaTmidios, this is one of the constant mitzvos to love Hashem. And this is what we have to realize, that Rosh Hashanah is a time that our love of Hashem is going to be supreme, and it's going to overtake and be able to surpass any other type of love we have. And we will get rid of the loves that are the loves that distract us from the Avodas Hashem. The day of Rosh Hashanah, whether it's the first day or the second day, our focus be Manlich Hashem, to make Hashem king. It's not just to say, Hashem, you're my king. It's much more than that. Hashem, I want to devote and dedicate my life to you, be'ava u'biratzon, with love, with desire, b'simcha, with joy. This is my focus in my life. And this is the power to silence the Satan. He quotes here at the end of 6, a beautiful idea of the Chasam Sofer, who says that in imagery we should think about when we are tovlim b'dvash, when we take the challah and or the apple and the honey, we have to be able to think about the ava, the love we have for Hashem. And he says that if you take the word lev, nefesh, and ma'od, right, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol me'odecha, lev is your heart, nefesh is your soul, ma'od is your beings, your possessions, your veriness, the last letters of, right, we know Rosh Hateva, Tzofei Teva, first letters, last letters of words, reflect the very deep idea. The last letter of lev is bet, last letter of nefesh is shin, last letter of ma'od is dalet, mix them around, you have tvash. That we need to be able to dip the dvash. The honey is a reflection of my love. The sweetness is with my whole heart, soul, and everything I have for the service of God. Not to get lost in the apples and the honey. Not to get lost in the apples and the challah. Not to get lost in the physicality. But recognize that I'm dipping everything. I'm supplementing everything. I'm being able to elevate all that I have for the dvash, to be able to serve Hashem with all of these aspects of my life. These are the things that bring me the greatest simcha. These are the things that bring me the greatest love. So my friends, on the first level, what does it mean, la'arbev et ha-satan, to confound the satan? What is the double blowing? How does that achieve that? Rashi's approach is when we blow it more than we have to blow it, we show that we're mechavim et ha-mitzvos. We love mitzvos. Loving the mitzvos has the ability to show the satan, this is a true color, this is who we are, this is what we're all about. The day of Rosh Hashanah is a day of kol kulo, of tvash, lev, ma'od, nefesh, being able to give the entirety of our being, whatever mitzvah we do, put a smile on your face, whatever mitzvah we do, sing a song, thank you Hashem, I have the ability to be able to do this mitzvah, ashreinu, matov, chalkeinu, how fortunate is our portion, and that has the power to silence and confound the satan. That's approach one. Approach number two is the second rishon on the first level, and that's the Ran. Going back to Rabbi Bernstein's Sefer, source 11, the Ran explains the idea of confounding the satan in a way that's a little closer to home. When the Gemara here mentions the satan, it refers to the satan that resides within the person, i.e. the Yitzhahara, the evil inclination. The confounding of the satan, quote-unquote, takes place through blowing the shofar before we recite the Amidah. As we have seen, the sound of the shofar is a call to wake up and remember what is truly important, to reflect on where we are going, to take account of things that we have done. The shofar's wake-up call puts a person in the proper frame of mind before he begins to daven, so the Yitzhahara will be subdued and not distract him during the Tfilas Musaf, which is the essence of the Yom HaDin. We're both saying what he confounded the cancer. The Ran is saying, la'arbev et ha-satan within us, not some satan force out there. But we have all these voices that distract us. The Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is the longest davening of the entire year. Some shuls take an hour, Tfilah Belachas. That's a very long time. It's a very long time to focus. It's a very long time to be able to dedicate ourselves completely to Hashem. All 30 psukim, 10 malchils, 10 shofros, 10 zichronos, all of them. How do we do this? So we first blow the shofar, la'arbev et ha-satan, to tell that Yetzer Hara within us, calm down. I want you to know that I'm weakening you in order to be able to focus on what's really important. As Rav Dov Yaffe notes, when he was asked, what should I think about when the shofar is being blown? He said, first and foremost, think it's a mitzvah of the Torah. Rachmana, Hashem says to blow. Then, we should have kavanas or sortim lamlichat Hashem al kol olam, ubichlal zeh lamlichat Hashem al tzmecha, to make Hashem king of the whole world, and v'lo chachol olam k'lo b'chvatecha, that Hashem should rule over the whole world with His glory, and most importantly, not to forget, to include ourselves, that Hashem should rule us. L'ismoach ba'od b'mlachat Hashem, that it should be with joy that we coronate Hashem. And with this, to be able to have Yisorus, to feel bad, and all the times I wasn't mamlichat Hashem, I didn't make Hashem the primary force in my life, and I want to come with a ratzon and kabbalah, a desire, a very strong desire, that from now on I'm going to try to improve my deeds and to do the will of Hashem in every single situation. The time of the blowing of the shofar is a time to silence the satan within us. It's a time to reorient and refocus our own mindset. As Rav Rot, Rav Elia Rot, Zatzal and Sichet Eliyahu in Source 14 in the asterisk points out, Heyofer Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Shel Emet. We say over and over again, Ki Atah Elokim Emes, Hashem, you are a God of truth. Udvarcha Emes, your words of truth. V'kayam La'ad, they're around forever. Today is a day that a person meets Hayot Adam Amiti Yoter. He meets the truth, and he's able to be able to face the truth in his inner being. And he recognizes that there's only one truth, the Torah's Emes, the Torah's true, the Chotomo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes, the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself is true. And our job through the Yom Truah Yelachem, through the Shofar, is to be able, Ki Shofar Hu Or HaEmes, is to be able to see the light of truth, that a person can be able to connect with what is really important in this world. What are my priorities in this world? The kol shofar comes as sa'ak libam el Hashem. It's that voice that's coming out of the deepest part of self. He calls it the school of the shofar is the call of MS. It's a voice of truth. To be able to bring a person, shofar kilifnim dami, to bring a person lifnai v'lifnim, in the innermost chambers of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to have, that's why it's the horn of an animal. There it's no logic here. It's the sa'ak libam el Hashem. It's about the innermost desire to connect to Hashem. It's about being able to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, into the innermost part of our heart. And that's the deeper idea of the notes in Source 16. Who's blowing the shofar? Me, Tokea. And the pasuk tells us, Hashem Elokim b'shofar yitaka. Hashem himself blows the shofar. What does this mean? It means that the Shem is the aspect of godliness that's within us, that nekuda pnimi, that inner spark that wants to do ritzon Hashem, the inner part of us that just wants to be dedicated. It doesn't want to get angry. It doesn't want to have negative mitos. It wants to have kavana. It wants to spend a life of truth, a life of connection to Hashem. That voice is what's being heard. When we say that it's kivyochol Hashem blowing the shofar, it means that aspect of godliness within us is able to rouse itself at the time of shofar blowing, and it is able to awaken a person into that deepest moment, into the deepest recesses of their heart, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Zeu kochol shel shofar, zeu ashrei am yodei shofar. Praise is a nation that knows the shofar, that knows this secret, that knows mi sheyodei adeichan shofar yachol lagia, how deep the shofar can reach, mi sheyodei me'efo kol yotze, and knows from where the voice is leaving, harehu mushar, behold, he is very, very fortunate. That when I hear the shofar, and I think that's the shofar coming from the Baal Tokea, it may be on a technical level, it's really the voice coming from within me. It's that deep cry, it's that place that has never been tainted, that says, Ritzoneinu l'rota malkeinu Hashem, all I want to do is serve you. All I want to be your Eved. The Seor Sheba Issa, I have so much Yetzirah in me. All I want to do is connect with you. When we have the Tekiah before the Shemoneh Esrei, the Tekiahs are able to silence all that Seor Sheba Issa, all that interference, so to speak, that allows us to dive in with real focus, allows us to be able to access that part of us without interference that wants to connect to Hashem. A very beautiful kuntra, Shema Benim, again by Rav Dov Yaffet, Tzatzal, the Mashkiach. He says that one of the psukim that we read in the first day of Rosh Hashanah is the story of Hagar. And the pasuk says, Vayivkach Elokim et Einaha, Hashem opened her eyes, Vatera Be'er Mayim, and she sees the well of water. So the Sfarim point out that Hashem had to open her eyes because the well was there all the time. She just didn't see it. Notes Rav Dov Yaffet, one of the things for us to keep in mind when hearing this pasuk being lain and throughout the Yontif is all of us have a Be'er Mayim Chayim. We all have a deep well within us. And that well is called our Neshama Kedosha, the asterisk in 17, our holy soul that wants to be drawn closer to Hashem and to do His will. And we ask Hashem, Im kein nitpalal lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, we should daven to Hashem, just like Hagar daven. Gal einenu v'nizkeh lakir v'larot b'kochoteinu, Hashem, open my eyes! Let me be able to access that deeper part of me. Let me be able to access that part that has the ability to do the Ritzon Hashem with such tamimus, with such closeness, with such decisiveness. And indeed, as Rav Achweigel Zatzal and Leket Rishimos points out in Source 18, Rosh Hashanah is the time when the Shibud, when the slavery stopped in Egypt, the Gemara tells us. It's a time also that Yosef HaTzadik was taken out of prison. Today is the day, the Hainu Sheish Koach Bayom Zeh, it's a day that we have the ability to extricate ourselves from our servitude, to extricate ourselves from our imprisonment, and be able to enter into the realm of Kedusha. And this is our challenge. This is what we daven. We have this in mind. This is one of the psukim that we say in 22. Roy Bernstein explains, Vaya bayomahu yitaka b'shofar gadol. On that day, a great shofar is going to be blown. Uvahu avdim be'eretz Ashur, and they will come, those who are lost in the land of Ashur or Syria. Vanidochim be'eretz Mitzrayim, and those cast away in the land of Mitzrayim and Egypt. Vishachvu Hashem Barakodesh Yerushalayim, and they'll be drawn before Hashem on the holy mountain in Yerushalayim. Rosh Hashanah is a day. The shofar Rosh Hashanah is a precursor to the one that will herald the final redemption. And this is the message that it brings. This is the message that quiets the Satan. Some people are lost in Usher. The word Usher relates to the word Osher, happiness. This refers to people who are lost in their lives of pleasure and comfort, and have forgotten about have any notion of meaning or idealism in their lives. Other people are cast away in Mitzrayim. The word Mitzrayim relates to the word Mitzar, boundary or restriction. There are those who are pushed away Nidachim from achieving meaningful goals due to restrictive or dire circumstances. Their spirits are dampened, their vision is diminished, and there's no room in their consciousness for any higher aspiration. The shofar calls to both of these people to wake up from either complacency or dejection. To the one lost in Usher in the bracket in 22, it urges that he gives his life more meaning and direction than the one he is currently drifting in. To the one pushed aside by Mitzrayim, it calls with encouragement, telling him to act in spite of his restrictions, to tap into the greatness and nobility that he is capable of regardless of circumstance. This is the challenge of Rosh Hashanah. The challenge of listening to the shofar is to quiet the Satan within me. And as Rav Wolpe notes so powerfully in 19, he said, when you have a war of two sides, right, facing off with each other, if you are able to somehow create confusion in the other camp, where they're caught off guard, where they're not prepared, that confusion gives you the upper hand that you can push them back a little bit and you've gained territory. That's the job of the shofar. The shofar is to just throw off that satan, that getahara, that's so sure. You know, I have my values and I have what's important for me. Just throw it off guard a little bit. Where you're able to say during tkiyah shofar, no, I may be lost in Usher, I may be lost in Mitzrayim. Hashem, help me, open my eyes, I just want to connect with you. That deep cry of Hashem, there's so much going on in my life that I'm so confused, that I have so much that's pulling me in so many directions, I can't even focus on my avodas Hashem. Hashem, help me open my eyes and allow me to see. Ritzoneinu, Lorotei Malkeinu, all I want to do is your will. When we have that deep desire, during the tkiyah shofar, when I'm able to focus and almost hear the sound of that godly part of me screaming out to connect matzah mina mino that each one finds, it's comparable voices. At that moment, the satan is weakened; he's pushed back, and our avodas Hashem, our musaf, is totally different. And this is what we have to realize. A little awakening can go a very long way. As the Sichas Musar points out in Source 20, we have these moments that this Yafesh Shachat, this one moment that we can be able to grab, this moment of Tkiyah Shofar, and we have no idea of the repercussions and the consequences for the good of what this can have at our Avodas Hashem. A moment. That little moment, like Rabbi Elazar ben Dardai had that one moment, it's only contingent upon me, no one else can help me. Baskol comes out and says that he's welcome to Olam Haba, he's called Rebbe. Don't underestimate these small moments of inspiration that have the ability to change our lives. Confounding the Satan on the first level, 1A, Rashi, Chaviva Mitzvos. Every mitzvah on Yantif b'simcha, polishing a diamond, grabbing those diamonds with love, ashreinu matav chokeinu. How fortunate is our portion. Level number 2, the Ran, it's quieting, it's silencing the satan within each and every one of us. Being able to say, wake up, smell the coffee, know what's real. And that voice has the ability for us to be able to daven on a whole different level, to be able to have a Yantif on a whole different level, to have a relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu on a whole different level. 1-3, third level of 1C, really, of the Rishonim, probably the most famous 24. Again, Rabbi Bernstein Tosfos presents a fascinating explanation of the confounding of the Satan in the name of one of the Rishonim, the Aruch. The future redemption will be heralded by the sound of the shofar, as the verse says, and shall be on that day, the great shofar will be sounded. Pasuk we just mentioned. When the satan hears the first set of sounds, he's unsure whether they're announcing the advent of redemption, or perhaps they're merely fulfilling the mitzvah of the day of Rosh Hashanah. However, when he hears the sounds repeated beyond the required 30 blasts, he becomes convinced that these are the sounds of the redemption, and his accusations become confounded. He's all confused. Oh my gosh, Mashiach may be here. If Mashiach is here, then I'm out of business. Oh my gosh, what's going to be with me? So the obvious question, and this is the question that's bothered me forever, and it's a question that Roy Bernstein brings down. I'm sure it's a question you've had as well. The explanation of the Aruch, this explanation is truly astounding. We should know better than to underestimate the prowess of the Satan. He may be many things, but he's not foolish. How then can he make the same mistake every single year? He should simply think back to all the previous years when the second set of sounds were there only to confound him. Duh! You know, this happens every year. Okay, I understand. The first year, he's confused. But he's been through this thousands of times, and he knows that the second set are just more shofar blasts. Like, give me a break! How do we understand this Aruch? For both sides, let's listen closely, because this idea is so fundamental. It's so deep, it gets to the essence of what Rosh Hashanah is about. I'd like to try to explain it, and then try to look at it even a little bit deeper, and then be able to see the punchline for us. Let's learn together. Some of these ideas we've done before, it's worth repeating. Different perspective, different insight, well worth the repetition. Rav Chaim Friedlander Rinas Chaim, which is an amazing sefer, it's found in English as well, to go through the Yom Tov Machzor, to be able to understand what you're saying, well worth getting before Yom Tov, to be able to look it over, to have it in shul, to be able to just be able to understand in depth what we're really saying. So he says, when we take a look at the Shofro section, right? Malchios is God's kingship, Zichronos is God's remembrance. We have the Shofro section. When we take a look at the Shofro section, we find something very interesting. We find that we have a prologue followed by the 10 verses, which is true of all three sections. The prologue serves as a means of clarification of the essential meaning of the blessing, such as the prayer of Aleinu L'Shabeach before Malchios. We need to understand why Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, appears as the main motif of the prologue to Shofros. In addition, it would seem natural to quote for the three Torah verses of the Shofros prayer passages concerning the Shofar blowing in Rosh Hashanah. But in fact, here too, the theme of these verses refers to the Shofar at Matan Torah. Why is this a topic of the prologue and the Torah verses? Right, so you really have, if you had a break down the verses. You have the three psukim from the Torah, all about Mamon Har Sinai, right? The Kol Shofar Olach Begadol, three psukim from Har Sinai. Then you have three psukim from the Ksuvim, from the writings, which has to do with the blowing of the Shofar in general, which were understood to mean our blowing of the Shofar. And then you have the three psukim from the Navi, which is about the blowing of the Shofar of Mashiach. How do we understand what these psukim are about? Let's try to understand this. Work with me, my friends. It's very fundamental. Ramchal sheds light on this issue, explaining the essence of the shofar and the blessing pertaining to its blowing. The school of sounding the shofar, he says, as we were commanded here below, and which is strongly rooted in the heavenly spheres, is to serve as a means of strengthening goodness and subduing evil. That's what shofar is about. Let's understand, 26, the intrinsic value of the shofar is to shake a person up and to alert his entire being. The main sounds of the shofar blowing are the tekiah and the truah. The shvarim is part of the tekiah, the broken sounds. Many shvarim explain that the truah sound, being a broken one, hints that man should break and crush his evil inclination. The Hebrew word truah has connection to the word truah, wakefulness. Thus, the truah sound is a means toward his orarus, reawakening man to keep away from the evil. Wake up! Get rid of the negativity. Sur Meira. The tekiah, which is a strength sound, which is meant to strengthen goodness within a human being and bring him to be Asay Tov, and Asay Tov, one who actually does good deeds. Thus, the sound of the shofar serves as an instructive tool and as a method of proclaiming God as over king. We have the ability, his orarus, to overcome evil, as well as the strength to pursue good. Behold, Ramchal continues, 27, that after the sin committed by Adam HaRishon, good became intermingled with evil, and evil conquered good and subjugated it. Before the sin, man was almost completely perfect, he was innately good, powers of evil existed outside of him, and had Adam not fallen prey, that would have been, we would live happily ever after. However, after man sinned in the arrow, he fell from his lofty level. Evil penetrated his essence and became intermingled with all his powers, and goodness was conquered and subjugated by evil. So you have Adam HaRishon, the perfected state, and then the falling after Adam HaRishon, where evil and goodness become intermingled together. 28. What happened at the time of Matan Torah? Goodness emerged from the yoke of evil and regained its strength and control over it. The Ramchal continues, our rabbis describe Shepaska Zumosa, that effect of the sin of the Chede Tzadat ceased, and once again the power of evil, which had become empowered and entered man after seduction by the servants, ended at Mamon Har Sinai. At that point, they virtually no evil inclination, they became immortal. Okay? We didn't stay on that stage for too long, and we are back to this struggle. However, the final stage will be the ultimate rectification and annulment of evil, and that will be in the future. In the future, the tikkun will be complete, and we'll be able to reconquer evil and subjugate it entirely. Now, my friends, we can now appreciate what it means. There will be a great shofar blast, not great in terms of big in 29, but great in terms of it's going to be a great hisorus, a great awakening. And this is the challenge. The challenge is that we had a Mamad Har Sinai, and the Ramchal notes that it was a shofar, a Mamad Har Sinai, that created this hisorus. Pasuk that we cite, that they stood from afar. This was the that this overtook them. It seized them with this fear. That was the awakening of leaving the evil and being able to hold on to the good. That was the shofar's effect at Mamad Har Sinai. That will be the shofar gadol's effect, the hisorus, in the future time. And that's the job of the shofar each and every year. We were commanded to blow the shofar, Rosh Hashanah, the Ramchal continues in 30, in order to reinforce the process of rectification, which was started at Mamad Har Sinai, and to prepare ground for the future. In other words, the function of the Rosh Hashanah shofar each year is to stir us, to intensify our struggle against the Yetzirah, to deal an additional blow, and to reinforce goodness. It follows, therefore, that the annual shofar blowing is an additional stage in the process of the rectification of creation, through the subjugation of evil and strengthening of goodness, until the future ultimate tikkun. In view of the above, we can understand why it is L'arbev HaDesatah, 31. When the Satan hears the second blowing, he thinks that's the sound of the shofar gadol. The shofar sound stimulates us to succeed against the evil that resides within each and every one of us. The second blowing is an expression of our striving to subjugate this evil, to make another effort to nullify it. The Satan sees how strong our desire is to do the will of Hashem, and he thinks that perhaps the time has indeed come. Rabbi said, let's understand this. We are living through a process. We have the ideal state, Mamad Har Adam HaRishon. That ideal state, we go back to, at Mamad Har Sinai, we go back to Adam before the sin. The shofar reawakens that desire to do good and to get rid of evil. It brings us back to that pure place. Hence, the prologue and the psukim are about Mamad Har Sinai, because it sets up for us the vision of where we want to get back to. That vision of the power of Mamad Har Sinai, and it is this vision that Rav Roth speaks about in 32 and 33. At Mamad Har Sinai, we were able to see with such clarity there is none other than Hashem. And Rav Roth continues by explaining, we've seen this before, that at Mamad Har Sinai, it was as if Hashem brought all of us back to the level of Adam HaRishon, not just in terms of pure without sin. On a much deeper level, he almost brought us back in terms of time, where we saw with clarity the Hashem spoke, and the world happened, that we saw that the word of Hashem, Dvaracham Nitzav Lolam, the word of Hashem stands forever. The Aseret HaDibro parallel the Asar Mamros, the 10 utterances parallel the 10 sayings of the Aseret HaDibro. That when Hashem spoke, it's as if we saw Hashem recreating the world. It's the realization of Ein Od Melvato, there is none other than Hashem. So when we say these psukim of the prologue and the psukim Mamad Har Sinai, we should just be saying this. We should be awakening within ourselves that vision of clarity. Yes, there is none other. We were able to see so clearly that Hashem appeared to us at Mamad Har Sinai. I saw Hashem. I felt Hashem. I was able to open up the heavens and it was so clear. And that clarity is what we need to tap into each and every year. That was the clarity that the shofar brought us to that pitch, to that level of understanding of Ein Od Melvato. It was that awakening of Mamad Har Sinai that I need to re-tap into every single year when I hear the shofar, to have that clarity that there is none other but Hashem. Malchios, to be Mamlech Hashem, to make Hashem the king of my life, to live a life of dedication of Torah and mitzvot. When I have that clarity of Mamad Har Sinai in front of me, when I say these psukim, So then when I hear the shofar blast, I'm able to tap into that awareness. And indeed, that hisovarush, that awakening, that trua, those tkios have the ability for me to be able to subdue evil so completely that indeed, Mashiach could be coming right now. This could be the Makir HaPatish. This could be what is final blast, or the final blow of the Satan. And indeed, Mashiach could come. Every year, when we are awakened, we subdue evil that one more step. And who knows how much more it needs for the final redemption to happen. However, my friends, let's take this idea as deep as it is and go perhaps a bit deeper. And hold on tight, because this is where it's at, my friends. I was going to say, this is an idea that will blow you out of the water, but I'm not sure I should use a pun on Rosh Hashanah Shir 36, but I did anyway. Listen closely. What was the shofar at Har Sinai? So you're right, the shofar, as Reb Chaim said, was his Omerus, was the shofar Gadol, was a great sound of awakening. It made the people tremble and made them, you know, lose their grip on evil. So he spoke about that war, that the negative forces got pushed way behind. Something much deeper happened with that shofar. Listen closely. Moda Labina Rasi Rotberg says the following. Hidei b'kabbalah satoru b'mamet Har Sinai, source 36. Deharotzon haya sheyagiu b'nei Yisrael l'matzav shalda rishon kodem achen. Hashem wanted Klal Yisrael to get to other rishon before the sin. Nasa aide kadosh baruch hu maisa shel neshima piv kivyachol l'tov b'nei Yisrael shetikanes atzmus v'alsa l'tov gufa ubezeh tiyeh surosam shel b'nei Yisrael l'tzuro shel neshama u'maisa zeh nasa aide shofar. We know that when Hashem created Adam originally, and this is brought down in source 39, Hashem breathed into Adam a nefesh chaya. He breathed into him a breath of life, right? Chazal described this breath of life as a ruach b'malala, our ability to speak. But we know Chazal say that the breath of Adam came directly from the breath of Hashem. And kivyachol, it was Hashem who breathed the life into Adam that he was able to be a living being. Klal Yisrael at Mamad Har Sinai go through the same process, kivyachol, of being, what does it mean to return back to Adam Arishon? Hashem kivyachol breathed into them as well. Right? We know Parcha Nishmasam, their souls left them, they had to be revived. In what was the medium of Hashem breathing life into them? The medium was the shofar. When Hashem, who was about to okay at Mamad Har Sinai? Who blew the shofar? It doesn't say, right? But shofar was a great shofar. And it became stronger and stronger, as he points out. It became stronger and stronger because you can't overwhelm Klal Yisrael all at once. It had to be Bahadraga. It had to be step by step. Where Hashem Kivyachol was infusing into them at Mamad Har Sinai the breath of Hashem, the neshama of Klal Yisrael became a different neshama, a different soul. It was a breath of life that Hashem infused in them. And that's the Koach of Torah. It wasn't just that Hashem gave us the Torah. Hashem Kivyachol breathed Torah into us, and that was through the shofar. So now I understand, my friend. When I speak about the kol shofar, what do I think about when I blow the shofar? I think about how Hashem breathed life into Adam, and at this very moment, Hashem is breathing life into me, which we'll talk about in a moment. And not only is Hashem breathing life into me at this very moment, I'm recalling as well when Hashem breathed life into us as a klal. He did that by blowing the shofar, and the shofar, kivyachol, was breathing life into Klal Yisrael. That was the Mamad Har Sinai. That was the giving over of the Torah. V'zeh inyan shofar d'Rosh Hashanah. Div sheb'emet harei b'yom et Rosh Hashanah et yom b'riyas ha'adam harishon. V'shum nafach kodesh baruch hu nishmas ruach chayim ka'elu asher zochim l'seh. The shofar Rosh Hashanah parallels the shofar of Matan Torah. Both are being able lachzor v'lachdir mahus neshama l'toch achmo b'nei Yisrael. It's being able to bring the godly soul into B'nai Israel. You know what, my friends? Let me share with you something fascinating that we could perhaps add to understanding. Hashem breathed life into us just like He breathed life into the world, right? And that's the ten sayings, Kivyachol. That's how He created the world. He breathed life into man, and we have the ability to speak. Kadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol breathed life into us at Mount Sinai, and that's the ability of Torah. And that's why, my friends, perhaps we could think about this every time in all 30 psukim, that we have the word v'nemar or lemor. You ever wonder why we have v'nemar? So I have here open Shofros. The pasuk says, V'nemar, v'hi kol shofar holech v'chazak ma'od, Moshe yidaber v'lukim yanenu b'kol. V'nemar, v'cholaim amroim et ha'kolos. U'bedivrei kochecha katuv, and in the writings it's written, lemor, saying. Everywhere it uses v'nemar v'chasros v'kol, v'nemar haluka. And even when we say v'yidei avadecha nevim katuv lemor, why do I have the lemor, saying, v'nemar, over and over again, over 30 times, over and over again? Why didn't just say, Vayidei Avadecha Ketuv, and then say the Pasuk? Why lay more saying? It's reminding us to lay more. The Amira is the breath of life, of Kivyachol, of Hashem's Amira, of Hashem's Kol Shofar into us, that enables us to speak. Every time we say words of Torah, the Namar, lay more, what I am doing is tapping into that breath of life that Hashem infused in us, both at the creation and at Mount Sinai. And it's going back to the way Hashem infused in the Asara Mamros, Hashem infused life into the Briyas HaOlam. You know what's really happening, my friend? Wolfson brings this down as well as others. When we say these psukim, we're recreating the world. We're recreating the world on a macro level. We're recreating the world of a Torah world. And we're recreating our world on a micro level. Lemor, saying, the gift of speech, the gift of life that Hashem infuses into us. It's not just v'nemar, v'nemar, lemor, lemor. No! It's amira, it's speech. It's the ability to take the neshama of Hashem and be able to see myself just as a conduit to express the will of God. Wow. And that's why, as Rav Pinkus points out, first, just to add on this, Moda Labina points out, that's why we say by the Shofros that Hashem came down in Hofata, that Hashem appeared in Ataniglata, that Hashem appeared to us in the Mamad Har Sinai. The idea of appearing to us, that He came, is the idea of, he says here in 37, Ubekol shofar aleim hofata, you appear to them with the voice of the shofar. Mamad Har Sinai is kviyas neshama betoch atzmot Yisrael. It's putting the neshama into us. And we know, as Rav Pinkus points out in 38, that today is a day that a person can recreate themselves. Back to our birthday, Adam HaRishon was created. And just like Adam was able to see from one end of the world to the other, we are able in our tefillos and in our deeds, likvoa latzmo kol hashana mitchilata v'tzofa. We have the ability through our tefillos, through our deeds, to establish from one end of the world to the other what our entire world will look at. We have to see through our tefillos, through our actions, what we are about, what we are doing on this day is creating who we are. This is the power of the day. This is the power of the shofar. So notes, Rabbi Bernstein, apparently it's not the Satan who's making the mistakes every year. We've seen that the shofar has the power to express and develop the inner essence of Jewish people, to fulfill the divine will. We are breathing out that divine will. Lay more. We breathe the shofar as Hashem Kivyachol breathing life into me. I'm a new being. I can start afresh. It's a tabula rasa. It's a day of reshit, of beginnings. The Satan is right to perceive the future redemption every year. If we fully appreciate and absorb the message of the shofar, there's nothing that would prevent the redemption from taking place. If anyone is making the same mistake every year, it seems that it's us. The Satan knows what he's talking about. We're the fools. We think, oh, you think he's really going to come this year? Yeah, it could come this year. What's stopping it? It's our attitude that's the problem. We will learn from our adversary, the Satan, about the power of the shofar and the changes it can bring about. We should do our utmost to hear and internalize its call and make this Rosh Hashanah a decisive step toward the redemption for which we're asking. If the Satan believes that this year things can change, we can believe this year things can change. And as the old Moshe says, if you believe, I've been there, done that, and nothing has changed, you're worse than the Satan. We have to believe in the ability of change. We have to believe that this could be it. This could be the decisive moment. And as I stand in Rosh Hashanah, that's my job, as the Maarche Lev points out in 42, to ask myself, where do I stand in my Ruchnias? Where do I stand in feeling the breath of life through me? Where do I stand in my Torah, my Vodas Hashem, and my Midos? And be able to see that one small decision forward has the ability to really make massive changes. So my friends, what we try to see, three levels, Rashi, Mechavim, Mitzvos, the love of Mitzvos, smile, Ashreinu Matov Chokeinu. Number two, break the Satan within you, move away that field of conflict, be able to have that decisiveness, I can make this different, be able to focus, Tvimam Lech Hashem, during Musaf. Third, that the Satan really believes that Mashiach may come, and indeed, he's right. And the whole theme of the Musaf is about look back at Adam, then look at Mamad Har Sinai. Adam we speak about in Zichronos. Go back to Yetzirei Kedem, the beginning. Look at Mamad Har Sinai. Hashem breathed into us Torah, into us the ability to be infused with godliness. Look at the shofar right now. Kadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol, when you hear that shofar, feel that God's breathing life into you like Adam HaRishon. Today is a day we have the ability to go back to Adam HaRishon. We have the ability to go back to Mamad Har Sinai. We have the ability to go back to perfection. We have the ability to bring Mashiach right now. Be able to hold on to that pitch. Be able to realize, don't fall into the rut or the depression, been there, done that. No! This is a moment! This is a moment of change! The Satan's not the fool. We're the fool if we're so cynical. Just very briefly, to look at a whole different approach of L'Arbe Vita Satan. Beautiful idea from a new Sefer, Ori V'Ishi, the Talmud Rebbe, where he speaks about when we take a look at the Haftarah of the second day of Yantif, the Haftarah should have to do with the Yantif itself. So what does the Haftarah have to do with Yantif? So the first thing I understand, Chana, Tvilos Chana, Rosh Hashanah, Shidavim Gut. So he says that perhaps the connection to the second day of Rosh Hashanah is in the first pasuk. Komar Hashem Atzachem Bamidbar Amsri Dei Chorev Haloch Largia Yisrael. So said Hashem, it has found favor in the wilderness, this people that survived the sword, as I lead Israel to his tranquility. Haloch Largia Yisrael, the theme of tranquility. So he explains, we'll do it outside because of the time considerations. He says, the key factor, 45 and 46, of the Satan is to create confusion within us. And this is the ploy of the Umos HaOlam too. All of the difficulties and all of the persecution was not just to be able to physically persecute Klal Yisrael, it's to create that erbuvia, that whole, you know, feeling, this tension and this conflict that who has time to think of mitzvos? You're in the Auschwitz, you're to think about Tkiyah Shofar, you're to think about doing, you know, Avodas Hashem, you got to be nuts. I can't even think of what I can think about is bread. The Satan has a very good way of just trying to live such a confused life that I don't even have time. I don't have to bench properly. I'm so busy doing this and doing that. And davening, oh my gosh, I have such a full day. You want me to really spend time davening? The job of the Satan is erbuvia, is to create confusion. So isn't it interesting that here, he's the one who's confused. And the Talmud Rebbe notes in 47, that Hashem creates the world, ze lumat ze asalukim, one parallel the other. If the job of the Satan is to bring Baha'u'llah, the way that we can create Baha'u'llah, confusion in the Satan, is when we are in Haloch Largia Yisrael, in a state of calmness. And he says that's what Tkiya Shofar is. It's like Nagof Rafo B'Mitzrayim. It has one effect, right? The plagues were a punishment for the Egyptians and a healing for the Jews. Likewise here, the blow of the shofar is meant at the one and the same time to create calmness among the Jews. And when the Jews are in a state, I'll explain what calmness means in a second, when the Jews are in a state of this menuchas hanefesh, that in itself creates the erbuvia basatan, creates the confusion and the satan. What does it mean that we blow sitting and we blow again? It means that I have a seder to my tekiyos. Seder tekiyos seinu. Seder shofro seinu. I have a seder. I have an order. I blow standing. I blow sitting. Being in an order. Being very mesudar. That order is what's ma'arbev et ha-satan. The satan can't stand order. So when Klal Yisrael express an order in their tefillos, and the way they approach the day is with Haloch Largia Yisrael, with a sense of calmness. And as he says, clearly in 53, calmness doesn't have any stira contradiction to the awesomeness of the day. That's why we'll explain in a minute what it is. That's what creates the confusion among the satan itself. What is this idea of calmness? So we know Rabbi Ostro speaks about in the Menucha principle. The Gaon describes achieving the focus, that's essence of Menucha Sanefesh, of no distractions of the past, no worries about the future. It's living in the moment, not being distracted. Pizur HaNefesh means that I'm distracted by everything around us. Menucha HaNefesh 55 brings us closer to Hashem, to our neshamas and those we love, while Pizur HaNefesh distracts, diverts, sabotages everything that's pure and good about our lives and us. In effect, at every moment of our lives, we stand at a crossroad of ourselves where we're given the option of thriving in one state of personal experience associated with Menucha HaNefesh, or another state of personal experience that entraps us in the quicksands of Pizur HaNefesh. And that's a potential state that exists in each and every one of us. The day of Rosh Hashanah is a day where we have to work on the Avodas Hayom. And again, I know I'm summarizing. You can learn it inside. The Avodas Hayom is a day of Menuchas HaNefesh. What does Menuchas HaNefesh mean? It means that I am totally focused on my goal of being Mamlech Hashem as king, and I don't get distracted, and I don't get disheveled. Which means, an example we've given many times of Zvi Meir, is that if I'm about to, you know, say an Asher Yetzer before the Lam Natzeach, I don't fly through the Asher Yetzer really fast because I want to say Lam Natzeach with a tzipor. No. My job right now is to say Asher Yetzer, and I'm going to say it slowly and carefully. A woman who's home with her children is not like, you know, running here and there. This is my job. I'm home with my children. I'm Menuchas HaNefesh. I'm Mamlech Hashem in this way. And we'll have time to blow shofar, and we'll have time to play Rosh Hashanah games, and we'll have time to daven, and we'll have time. The job of Rosh Hashanah is not to be bebehilos. It's not to be confounded. It's to have, yes, there's an ema, there's an awe, there's a fear, but it's from a place of knowing this is my focus, this is my job. He explains so beautifully, a gewaldic word in 51. He said, do you ever wonder why we don't blow shofar on Shabbos that comes out, Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos? Like, so the Gemara says, perhaps somebody will forget that it's Shabbos and take their shofar over to somebody to learn how to blow shofar. Like, come on, shofar's from Daraisa, you're afraid someone's going to do this? He says, listen closely. If a person is bebehilos, if a person forgets it's Rosh Hashanah and Shabbat, and he's going to take it over to somebody else's house, he's living in a confused state. By not blowing the shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, I ensure that the people are in a state of tranquility. That state of tranquility in itself has the ability to confound the satan, has the ability to make the satan all confused. How can it be that the Jewish people are in such a state? That in itself has the effect of shofar blowing, even without blowing the shofar. Felt it. That's our job on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the satan is into us being all messed up. Oh my gosh, did I hear this tekiah? Oh my gosh, did I do this right? Did I do that? He wants us to be in a state Our job is to say, my job right now is to do Ritzon Hashem. That's why, as Sichur Yitzchaskut points out, and we've said this so many times before, every single thing that's going to happen to a person over Rosh Hashanah has been tailor-made from God above. And it is a matana, it is a gift that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us. Kol machshava dibur ma'isa shalayom hazeh. Everything that happens in the shul and in home, everything has kolim mamash matanot niflo mishamayim. Everyone that's going to bother you, every kid that's going to act out, every fight that's going to happen, every dish that's not going to come out, it's all been from above. And all of these situations, I have to be Ashira Lashem Bechayai, to sing to Hashem in my lifetime. All of these things are Ashira Lashem, and my job is that whatever happens to me, make that music Al Hashem Bechayai, to thank Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, that everything got burned. Hold you, Hashem, I'm not going to lose it. I'm not going to lose my tranquility, my equilibrium. What Rosh Hashanah is about is the satan is la arbeva ta satan. The job of the shofar is, on the one hand, to mess the satan up, to say, the satan is the one who's messed up today. He's the one who's confounded. We, Klal Yisrael, are in a state of seder, a state of orderliness. We know that whatever happens, I'm not going to lose it, because it's exactly what Hashem wants me to be able to be mamlechim. He wants me to serve him from this child who has a tantrum. He wants me to serve him from my sink that gets stopped up. He wants me to serve him from whatever situation it is. And I'm not going to lose my tranquility and equilibrium. Rabbosai, I want to end with a story, which I think expresses this idea of tranquility and equilibrium, and it's a beautiful story to share at your Yontif table. The Bolshevik Rebbe was in a ghetto, and he said to the kapos, he said, you know, it's really not worth spending money on that dry bread they give us. Pesach is coming. We'd like to have some flour. We'd like to bake matzos. So they put in a request to Berlin, and the request, surprisingly enough, was given, and they were given these sacks of flour. And the Bolshevik Rebbe built a oven, and with the greatest amount of kavanah, Erev Pesach made matzah, l'shei matzah mitzvah. Matzah after matzah, he rolled it, he, you know, put the everything was done, perfect, beautiful matzahs. As the matzahs are coming out, the smell of freshly baked matzahs, the aroma was everywhere, a Nazi Yimach Shemo comes in fuming. What is this, you know, baking matzahs? And he's, you know, in a state. Who's responsible? It's obviously the Rebbe. And he beats the Rebbe, but good, right? Really gives him blow after blow and takes all the matzah and he just, you know, makes it into, you know, dust. When he leaves, the Hasidim try to revive the Rebbe, give him some water. The Rebbe is a little bit now in a better state. The Rebbe says, okay, let's have the Seder now. Got dark, let's have the Seder. And he pulls out of his pocket a little bit of matzah. He says, while the Nazi was beating me up, I took some matzah and put it into my pocket. That's what we're talking about, that Yishuv Hadash, you can be beaten up and at the same time have the presence of mind to put a matzah in your pocket. That's the level we're talking about of Yishuv Hadash. So they have a Seder, and it's, you know, the Rebbe leads it in a beautiful, melodious voice, and the Hasidim are with him, and it comes time for Achilas Matzah. It's not even enough for Kazayit, but it's a little bit. So the Rebbe says, okay, let's do a Gora, let's do a lottery, who's going to get the Matzah? So all the Hasidim say, Rebbe, we're not going to do a lottery, who's going to get the Matzah? Obviously the Rebbe, who was Moser Nefesh for this matzah, right? He got beaten up. He should eat the matzah. And everyone's Rebbe eat the matzah. So the Rebbe said, okay, I'll eat the matzah. There was one woman sitting there with a four-year-old little boy. Beautiful little boy. The Germans liked this little boy. He was blonde hair, blue eyes, beautiful child. So they liked keeping him around like a trophy child. And this little child, this four-year-old, was sitting on his mother's lap, and this woman raised her hand, and she said, Rebbe, I'd like you to do a lottery. Perhaps my son will win the lottery, and it will be important for him to eat matzah, because he will better chances that he'll survive. Who knows who will survive? And let him have the memory of eating matzah and the memory of baking the matzah that he'll be able to tell the future generations. It's important that this experience not only remain here. The Rebbe was so taken by what she said that he said, I agree. And they took this little boy and they did the Tefillat Yadayim with him and they said the bracha of al-achilas matzah, and this four-year-old boy ate the matzah. This is what we're talking about, presence of mind. This is what we're talking about, what Yom Tov is about, getting our priorities in order, even in the times of the most bahala, even in the times of the greatest confusion, to be able to have this sense of priority. That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. Yes, there's so much hanging on the line, but we shouldn't lose our priority of what's important for us, what's important for our children, what to daven for. That's what the day is about. Haloch Largir Yisrael. The day of Yom Tov has to be a day of Menuchas HaNefesh, a day of clarity. And we need preparation beforehand of what to daven for and what to not to lose focus about. Rabosai, the end of the story, is after the war, Moshe Verevi survived, Hasidim survived, this lady comes to speak to the Moshe Verevi, and the Shamash says he doesn't speak to women. You know, you can't speak. No, 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 I must speak to the Rebbe. The Rebbe hears all this confusion outside. She says, what is it? This lady wants to speak to you. He says, let her come in. He says, what can I do for you? She says, I'll tell you. I have this little boy. It's after the war. Everyone's getting remarried. I was suggested a shidduch. Somebody suggested a shidduch for me, and I have no one to check him out for me. I have no brothers, no father, no one to check him out. Would the Rebbe ask his chassidim to please check out this person? I'm old. The person who suggested to me is old, I understand, but I want to make sure this is a good shidduch. So the Rebbe said, tell me, who was suggested to you? And she said, his name is Yisrael Spira. And the blush of a Rebbe said, it's me. I'd like to marry you. A woman who has this perspective, that she cares about this four-year-old child, that he will be able to be the continuity of Klal Yisrael, that he should eat the matzah, I want to be married to someone like that. And the end of the story is that this four-year-old child became the next Moshe Verevi. This is the continuity of Klal Yisrael. This is what Klal Yisrael is all about. And even in the times of the greatest Bahala, even in the times of the greatest confusion, we have the Seder of Tikiyosenu. We have an order. We have our priorities in order. Rosh Hashanah, which is a day of Chavivus HaMitzvah. It's a day of L'arbev et HaSatan within us. It's a day to be able to have feeling that Hashem is breathing life into me right now, and I'm able to restart my year, restart my Torah learning on a whole different level. It's also a day of Menuchas HaNefesh, where I have to prepare myself that my only goal today is to iman lich Hashem, is to serve Hashem. And whatever happens, and whatever bahala, whatever confusion happens around me, and if you have kids in the house, there's a lot of confusion, I'm not going to lose my perspective that whatever happens, I am here to serve Hashem. I will use this, Hashira L'Hashem B'chayai, I'll use this, even the most challenging situations as a song to be able to be mamlech Hashem. With that, my friends, I wish everybody ksiva chesima tova and a shana tova.